Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. Do you trust in him tonight? Do you have faith in the Almighty tonight? He can do wondrously in your life this evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for the praise team tonight, for their faithfulness to their calling, their faithfulness to their ministry, their faithfulness to God. We're all blessed because of their sacrifice for the music ministry. Thankful to be here with each and every one of you once again in God's house, in this place that we gather together to learn of him and to be edified. And pray for Pastor Panero. Him and Mr. Panero are there they're in camp meeting, so let's pray for the camp meeting and those that are traveling the camp meeting and those that will be at the camp meeting and for the camp meeting, and that God will deliver everyone safely home from camp meeting. So let's just pray all the way around for camp meeting. And next week, it's junior camp, so let's make sure we pray for the kids as well, that they have a safe journey there, and God encapsulates their vehicles and brings us all our babies home in Jesus' name. So I want to give honor to each and every one of you. I'm thankful that you're here, and give honor to my pastor and Sister Panero for their leadership and their faithfulness, and most importantly, give all the glory and all the honor to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. The one that we can trust in, the one that we can put all our faith and our hope in, the one who saved us and who called us by his name, and I'm thankful for him tonight. Without him, I'm nothing. Amen. So if I could just turn your attention for a few moments tonight, and then you could be seated, to John 15, John chapter 15, verse 16. John 15 and 16, it reads, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordain you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Let's ask the Lord to bless us tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for another opportunity to be here. We ask and we pray, Lord God, that we know your words are going to go forth and do what you've intended for it to do. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you encourage and edify your children tonight, Lord God. Allow me, my Lord God, to deliver, Lord, what you place upon my heart. Don't let me get in your way. And I ask and I pray you move mightily, Lord God. Fill someone with your spirit. Allow someone to be baptized in your beautiful name, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would bless tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all may please be seated. So my topic tonight is persistence. So persistence, the definition of persistence is a firm or obstinate continuance in the course of action. But it doesn't stop there. It's an obstinate continuance in the course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition, in spite of those things that try to impede our progress, in spite of the obstacles that life presents us with, in spite of those difficulties, in spite of the naysayers, in spite of the haters, in spite of even those friends that think they're going to just give us their honest opinion that might be putting doubt in our mind about God's will in our life, we persist. Amen. We continue. Amen. In spite of those obstacles, in spite of the opposition, even if the mainstream media or the social media tells us that we're wrong, even if we have different medical science that tells us that it can't happen for us, we continue steadfastly against all perceivable and recognizable odds because we know who our God is. Amen. If I can turn your attention to Luke chapter 18, 15 through 17. Speaking of persistent and the children's camp next week. Luke 18, 15 through 17. "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." So those of you tonight that have children, that have raised children, that have worked maybe in Sunday school or taught children, or have nephews, or you have nieces, or you have little siblings, you know that no one is more persistent, no one is more obstinate, no one has a more of a continuous questioning than an infant who has learned the word, why? Why? Why, Daddy? Why? Why, Mommy? Why? Why? And at times, that persistence can be overwhelming. Sometimes that persistence can kind of drain us a little bit, right? Why? Why is the sky blue, Daddy? Why is the grass green, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why, Mommy? Why do brown cows eat green grass and make white milk and yellow cheese, Daddy? The whys, they never end, right? But that's how they learn. That's how we learn, right? By inquiring, trying to understand our environment, trying to understand our traditions, trying to understand the purpose of why we do everything that we do, by asking questions, inquisitive, by trying to figure out our environment. And then something happens in an infant's development, and they discover that the why can gain them something. It's not just a why for the sake of learning, the sake of knowledge, the sake of understanding what's going on around them, like, you know, the normal routines that we all have throughout the day. You know, we eat and come home from school, we take our do our homework, and whatever your routines are at home, they want to know why at a certain age. But then after a certain time, they discover that they can inquire to achieve, they can inquire to get, they can make petition, they petition you, they can ask questions, they can ask for things. And they're a little older, they understand the value of certain things. And so they'll say, you know, like, hey, Mom, can we go to Disneyland? Or, hey, Dad, can you take us to the zoo? Or, hey, Dad, you know that my birthday's coming up, and I want that new basketball, that, you know, not the cheap one, but the leather one with this NBA on the front of it, you know. Okay. Or, Mom, or Dad, how about those? I saw all these cute shoes that I want, and it has a new outfit, and I would really like it for my birthday. You know, my birthday's in a month. Great. And they ask the questions, and then they can get. But when you can tell when they really want something, because they're persistent, right? They're persistent. They don't just ask for it one time. They're not just like, hey, Dad, my birthday's coming up in 2 months. I want those cute shoes. No, there's a follow-up. Hey, Dad, it's a month away. My birthday's coming up. Don't forget those new shoes that I wanted. And then a week later, hey, Dad, it's 2 weeks away, my birthday. I sent you the link. There's a discount code on there. You know, there's a discount code. The link's on there. You know, all you got to do is push that buy now button, Daddy. And if you do it right now, that Prime's going to have us to us before my birthday. Right? So we've all been there. Either we've negotiated for ourselves because there's something that we want and we negotiate, or we've had our little angels of God, our little blessings have asked us and petitioned us for things that they want because they are persistent. So that's how you can, when they want something kind of, or if they're really into it, you know, like, oh, Dad, I saw this cool fishing pole. It'd be nice. Okay. But then you don't hear about it anymore. Then you know, like, he didn't really want that fishing pole after all. She didn't want that fishing pole after all. But when they come back to you and they start showing you, hey, Dad, look at this fishing pole that I was looking at. They got it on sale, and this guy caught this. Let me show you this YouTube video where this guy used the same rod and reel, and then there's continuation in that, and, you know, he's selling it to you, and then they want to negotiate. Well, hey, how about we go halfers on this? And then, you know, that's when you know somebody wants something because they are persistent. They desire it. They're desirous of it. So they have a purpose for that because they have something they want. So my point about all this is that their persistence, their consistent questions, their obstinate continuance, their relentless request, they oftentimes, even if you don't want to negotiate with them, they earn the desires of their heart, don't they? So I know that we should have faith like a little child, but I think at times that we should have that, the persistence of asking and requesting like a little child. So I'll show you a few examples in the Bible where that people asked persistently for their situation, and God delivered mightily. So my favorite example is in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And the Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus. He's cried out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man unto him, saying, be of comfort, "Rise," and he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So at the beginning of the, if you go back to the top, Sister Melina there, it says he came to Jericho, Jesus, Jericho. They just had a revival. He just finished preaching, and they were leaving. And as they were leaving, as you notice in several situations, instances in the Bible, the Lord, wherever he was speaking and preaching, he had a great multitude following him. There's, you know, multiple examples, you know, where he fed the 5,000, he fed the 2,000. The great multitude followed them. So wherever he was going, he had a large contingent of people, both those supporters, his support staff, I should say, like his disciples were there, plus those that were interested in hearing him, those that were choosing to follow him, those that wanted to hear the words of wisdom that the Lord God Almighty had to deliver. So here he is. He's leaving Jericho. He's heading down the road. There's a blind man sitting there on the side of the road named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is sitting there. He hears the mob coming. He's inquiring, "Who is this that's coming this way? Who is this person?" And he finds out that it's Jesus. So clearly, the Lord Jesus's his reputation preceded him, because Bartimaeus becomes animated, right? And I read it politely and with decorum, but I suspect that when Bartimaeus was crying out to God, that he created quite a scene. I suspect that he was excited. I suspected that he was persistent. I suspected that he was getting quite loud and making a fuss, that he wasn't just saying, "Excuse me, Jesus, thou son of David, if you have a second here, could you have some mercy on me?" No, I don't think he was doing that. I suspect that the word supports that he was crying out with a loud voice, making a scene, making a fuss, and he was hollering out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." So I believe he was getting loud, and he continued, because it says the mob told him, "All right, dude, take it easy. Shh. Be polite. This is the Lord God Almighty, and you're acting like a fool. Listen to yourself. Chill out. Chill out. Take it easy." Right? And the people were telling him, because it's, if you read along, it says, take it easy. Shh. Silencio. You're making a big noise. Take it easy. And what did Bartimaeus say? He said, "Sorry. Not sorry. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." So he cries out. And this is one thing, when you keep on reading, it says Jesus stopped. I looked, and from what I've read, what commentators, this is the only place in the New Testament where it says that Jesus stopped. Bartimaeus created such a scene, sought the Lord with such persistence, such vigor, with singleness of purpose, that he stopped the Almighty dead in his tracks. He had the undivided attention of the Lord God Almighty. And he said to him that day, "What can I do for you, son?" I'm paraphrasing here, but "What can I do for you? How can I help you, Bartimaeus?" And Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I might see, that I might receive my sight." But if you go back a little bit where it talks about the people said that Jesus called him over, it's a beautiful little side note here where he says Jesus called him over, and it says he cast off his garment. He cast off his garment. See, in that day, that garment, it wasn't just a jacket to keep him warm. It wasn't just a cloak to keep the rain off him. It wasn't just an outfit with cute pockets. It wasn't one of those. No, it was more than that. It was more than just an outfit with cute pockets. What it was it was his license to beg. It was his state authorized identification that allowed him to go out there and beg for a living. So when this man heard that the Lord God Almighty, he called him, said, "Come over here, send him over here," hadn't even spoke to the Lord yet. He had lied. The Lord hadn't even told him what he's going to do, but his faith was so great, and his heart was so honest, and his persistence was of single mind, that because great faith, he just cast off his livelihood. He cast off that garment. He threw off that old man. He threw off his old ways, because he knew who had his solution. He knew who was there to solve his problem. He knew who could deliver him from his blindness and enlighten him. And so what did he do from that day forward? The Bible says from then on, Bartimaeus followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus for all the rest of his life, because he knew who he was following. He knew that the Almighty was leading him and guiding him, keeping him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's what persistence can do. Persistence can get your blind eyes to see. It can solve all your situations. So Bartimaeus that day not only got his sight, but he was a new man, a new creature, just like us, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Another example in Luke of persistence, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, excuse me. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, get away, the door is shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Importunity is persistence. His persistence, your persistence and your petition is what's going to get you the results you're looking for. Amen. I have another one here. One of my last example in Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint, to always be, to not quit, to be resilient, to be steadfast. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And for a while he would not. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow Karen troubleth me, I will avenge her. Her name wasn't Karen, I'm just joking. This widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? So here we have another example where persistence pays. Persistence pays, that she continued. She had an issue. She wanted to be avenged, and she got her way because of her persistence. It paid off, and God asked. He said, actually referenced her as having faith. He says, will we find this kind of faith when I return? Will we have this kind of faith that to continue on, this kind of faith that even though that you know that person you're dealing with may not fear God or man, that if your cause is righteous, that the Almighty will deliver your certain end. So Mark chapter 2, 1 through 5. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. Sorry, one more example. And straightway many were gathered together. Another example of persistence. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins shall be forgiven thee. So basically, there's a guy that the group text goes out. Jesus is in the house. Everybody finds out where he's at. They recognize and realize where he's preaching. They realize who's there. They know that the one who raises the dead, the one who cleansed the leper, the one who returned sight to the blind eyes, the one who was performing numerous miracles. Not all of them were notated in the Bible, but they said numerous miracles and many other things he was doing. They knew where he was at. So the text went out, the group went out, the word got spread, however they spread it back in those days, and four friends thought about their little homie, the one who was sick of palsy, the one who couldn't get to the church on his own, the one who was not capable of getting to the house of God, who was not getting to where the master was. So the four friends, they went and they got a little gurney. They bore him up. They carried him in the house. They get to the house. Can't get in the house. Too many people. No one's following COVID protocol. There's no social distancing there. Everybody's in there scrunched in, shoulder to shoulder, because they're here to hear the Almighty. So once they get there, they don't say, oh, man, too bad, little homie, maybe next time. They didn't say that. Oh, hey, man, sorry, maybe next time he's in town, we're going to go ahead and go back there. Maybe we'll get there quicker. You know, we'll make sure they notify us the next time he shows up so we can be there right when the Lord God Almighty is ready to preach. It's not what they said. They looked around, and they got creative. They thought, how can we get our friend? How can we get our brother? How can we get our loved one? How can we get our child? How can we get our uncle? How can we get our aunt? How can we get our loved one into the presence of the King? So what did they do? Well, the construction worker, he showed up and said, let's take the roof off this thing, right? Thank God for construction workers. So they tore the roof off. They lower him down. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. Amen. It stopped. It got his attention. He recognized their persistence. He recognized that they had a need, that they were not going to be denied. They were not going to be discouraged. They were not going to be turned aside. They were not going to walk away empty-handed, but they came to have the promise fulfilled. And so he said to him, thy sins be forgiven thee. So he made him whole that day. That is true friends right there. When you got friends that'll pray with you, when you got friends that will take your petition before the Lord, when you got friends that will help you and even maybe get creative with you, help you figure a way to help you press into God's presence, to help you enter into the Holy of Holies, to help you get to a place where you and the Almighty can commune again, that you can come before God Almighty with clean hands and pure heart, where they could be introduced to Him and where you could be in a situation where God can deal with your heart. Those are beautiful friends right there. So I'll read this one again, but this time in Matthew 7:7-8. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I believe God wants us to be persistent, to be active askers, to be active seekers, to be actively knocking, constantly petitioning him. In chapter 21, verses 21 through 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you still say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer and believing, ye shall receive. He wants us to ask with that childlike faith. He wants us to ask with that audacious faith. Sometimes when we get older, we become a little bit jaded, right? Maybe not you. I'm just speaking for myself. Sometimes you start to wonder, well, you know, that's not very probable. That's not likely. Excuse me, I need to get my water. It's not going to happen in your lifetime, you know, and you start to have those little doubts. And maybe you don't, but I do. If I'm keeping it honest with you, there's times I have my doubts. So it's like, well, Lord, I know you can do anything. Help my unbelief, Lord. Help my unbelief. You know, because sometimes those petitions are close. Sometimes those petitions are dear. Sometimes those positions are those situations are so personal. It's hard to detach yourself. It's like when I used to work with kids in school and their kids were struggling with the subject, it was easy for me to be like, don't worry, he's going to get it. Don't worry, just give him some time. Junior's going to get it. But when it was your kid struggling with the subject, man, you're looking for a tutor. You're reading a book. You're trying to find somebody that can help explain the child. Yeah. So that's how sometimes I feel like that when we have these personal prayers that are near and dear to our hearts, sometimes it's hard for us to really lean on God, to really have that faith, that audacious faith that he wants us to have. Excuse me. So in John, 5:14-15. Sorry about the mic. I'm going to be persistent anyway. I'm going to keep on talking until I'm done. Sorry. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bonham. If we know, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Right? So he reminds us that when we ask confidently. We ask like when your kid reminds you, Dad, all you got to do is click buy now. Yeah. Just click buy now. It's going to show up in 3 days or less. Click buy now. If we ask God in confidence, right? If we ask him in that childlike faith, with that childlike persistence, we know that he can deliver immediately. In James chapter 1, 5-8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you got to know what you want when you ask for it. Ask confidently, because he wants us to succeed. These next two verses I did not give to the AV team, because they are in the NIV version. But in Jeremiah 29:11-13, it says, for I know the plans I have for you. Yeah. Declares who?
The Lord.
That's right. Amen. The L, the capital L, yeah. The capital O, yeah. The capital R, yeah. The capital D, the Almighty One, yeah. The Eternal One, the Righteous One. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So ask appropriately. Ask unwaveringly. Ask confidently. In James 4:3, and this is in the NIV as well, it's when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So God wants us to ask with childlike faith, with childlike persistence, for his perfect will in all aspects of our life, with our friends, with our family, with our businesses, with our jobs, in our ministry, in our careers, with our education, whatever part of our life that we have to deal with, we want it to be in the perfect will of God. For because when we are in his perfect will, then our souls, that eternal being, that most important being, that one that's going to spend eternity somewhere, when we are in his perfect will, then our souls are safe and secure.